any other place I know of. Hadn't you? Few of us had. Glory to God. My oldest son is sort of hanging out with us for a season. And he says, "Who's preaching tonight, Dad?" I says, "I am." He says, "Well, I'll see you next Thursday." So hopefully we won't preach that long. My son, I hope he don't wait till they roll me down the aisle in a box to get back in church. But he remembers when he was a boy, he hated going to church, but he had to come anyway. And how long his daddy preached. We're living in a fast food age today. We want it quick, and we want it now. But I'm going to tell you, most of us is my age bracket, and I don't want to tell you how to eat, but the worst places that you can eat is fast food. Give me some country-fried beans and potatoes, right? I want to ask you, did you come here tonight to worship God? Did you really come here tonight to seek Him over to God and to enter into His presence with thanksgiving? What a privilege, church. I think about this continuously in all that's going on in our country. Still freely, you and I can come and we can worship God. We don't have to worry that the law is coming to padlock our doors and take us downtown. This ought to generate a greater desire for God's people to want to come to church and worship Him. Will you not agree with me? Glory to God. If you have your Bibles tonight, glory to God. I want you to turn with me to the book of Job. Job chapter number 23. I have taken this sermon and shrunk it way down. What I feel tonight in this message would be like the foundation of this sermon, because the subject that God has opened to me would take several nights to get it all in. So I have taken it and shrunk it. I have only two little pages, glory to God, of an outline. And my desire tonight as I minister to you is that what I share would be the same thing if Jesus was standing here. I have told people over the years, ministers like to proclaim various things. And when I used to preach a lot, I always told people, I am a messenger, an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I represent a heavenly kingdom, a country that's far greater than what we live in. Glory to God. I've talked long enough, so I hope you can find the scripture, Job chapter number 23. I had a man tell me one time, I hate a preacher that reads one verse and preaches for an hour. I thought, Lord, he's talking to me. But I'm going to read more than one verse, and hopefully we can cut it to half an hour or less. If you would, please, if it's not asking too much, would you stand while we read Job chapter 23? I want to read the first three verses of Job 23. Then Job answered and said, "Even today my complaint is bitter. My hand is listless because of my groaning. All that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as I approach your great throne of mercy and of grace, I come before you, Father, with a sincere heart, realizing, Lord, that without your anointing, without you, Lord, there isn't anything that I can do. But I pray tonight, Father, that you'll unlock the windows of heaven And you pour out, Lord, your anointing throughout this assembly. Glory to God that you hide us behind the cross, that I can proclaim, Lord, your message to your people. And I pray, Father, not what I desire, but I pray that your will be accomplished in this service. I pray, Father, for every person here, that when we leave tonight, we can say with a truthful heart, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Glory to God. Anoint me, Father. Use me for your glory. What's accomplished, I'm going to give you praise. For it's in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Glory to God. I want to make sure I don't get that off-brand of water that's under here. My wife says there's nothing but blue. I want to minister tonight on this line of thought, seeking God. And as I've already stated, there's no way in one sermon that I could cover into depth all that God has opened to me in these few verses of scripture in the book of Job. All of us know about Job. Job was the wealthiest man in the East, and Job possessed great riches. And Job was a man who was looked up by everyone because of all that Job had. But Job lost it all. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. The only thing that Job had left was his wife. And I made this statement one time when I was going to finish Bible college, and all the women wanted to shoot me, glory to God. But I said, you know why the devil didn't take his wife? I said, he wanted to leave her there to agitate him. They didn't like it. But she did say, I don't know why you don't just curse God and die. But I want you to know tonight, church, that throughout the whole experience of Job's suffering, I want you to know what Job desired and longed for the most. Everything that he had lost, Job's greatest desire was for the presence of God. This is what he wanted more than anything else. If you read the book of Job, he rarely mentioned the loss of prosperity. Seemingly as he sat out there with nothing but a dog to come and lick his sores, and three friends, so-called, who came and for 7 days, they observed Job and did not open their mouth. And when they did, they began to tell Job what a sinful man he must be. Job did not desire the law, so he did not long for his prosperity. He barely referred to his deep sorrow because of the loss of his children. And to me, that would be one terrible loss. My prayer is that I don't ever have to see one of mine put in the ground. Glory to God. But Job saw all of his. It was the loss of God's presence that Job mourned for. And I believe tonight, church, that one of the things that we, the people of God, the church in America, what we need to mourn for more than fine buildings and greatness, and I believe with all of my heart that God's house ought to be the best house in the neighborhood. I believe the house of God ought to be a role model. It don't need grass growing up, glory to God, waist high, glory to God. But what the church world needs tonight more than anything, church, is the presence of God. Yes, hallelujah. And this is what Job was desiring. He wasn't desiring or crying, where is all my money? Where are my children? Job had lost the presence of God, and this is what he was hungering for. And I'm afraid tonight there are many churches in America tonight that have lost the presence of God. He's no longer welcome into a lot of churches today. And can I tell you, with love in my heart, when we look at America tonight, it is in the worst mess this country has ever been in. But can I tell you the real reason that America is like it is? It's not Washington. It's not the government. It's not the local authorities. It is the church tonight, beloved. A country will always go as the church goes. Glory to God. I'm afraid tonight, church, that we have lost the hunger for God. And I believe that this is why our country is in a mess. Why so many churches are in a mess. And I may be getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to just share it as God gives it to me. Glory to God. I believe it all in my heart tonight. This is why we are hearing so many churches closing. So many preachers are quitting. The reason for it is there is not the presence of God. Because can I tell you tonight, where the presence of God is, there's peace and joy and contentment. Hallelujah. Something the world cannot give you. Glory to God. The presence of God is better than the best doctor in the country. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. In all of Job's misery, he desired to find God and to commune with him again. Job said in chapter 29, verse 2, he says, "How I long for the months gone by, for the days when God watched over me." He longed for God's presence. Can I tell you, beloved, tonight, I long. We talk of how things were when we were kids and our parents were in control and grandma sat on the pew. Glory to God. I hunger that we can see this again in the house of God. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I preached for years, if my grandmother could dance in church, if my grandmother can shout in church, then her grandson ought to be able to shout and magnify the name of the Lord in the house of God. Yes, hallelujah. Can I tell you, beloved, those old saints sought God. We worry sometimes about the church services. I can tell you most churches in America have become cold. They become formal. They're cut and dry. They go through the same routine over and over and over. And there is no room for God in so many of our churches today. My mother and I, a few years ago, before she took her flight to glory, she wanted to go and visit a church, and we went there to visit. They started at a certain time, and in a certain time they stopped. The pastor said, "Well, I thought we might have time tonight to pray," but he said, "It's time to quit." I thought, God help us. God help us. And we're wondering why tonight, church, that our pews are so empty. Huramoshitahaya. Glory to God. It is because, beloved, we have lost a desire for the presence of God throughout this country and in the churches. Glory to God. Job longed for the months gone by. Can I tell you, I hunger to see a real move of God. I hunger once again to see the Shekinah glory come down into our sanctuary. Glory to God. And beloved, we can one more time forget about time. You think about it. I got saved on Wednesday night. That's why I love Wednesday night. Glory to God. Can I tell you, we didn't start at 7 and quit at 8. We came and the Holy Ghost came down in that service. Those saints of God were shouting and praising and glorifying God. And at the age of 17, I knelt an altar and became a child of the living God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Glory to God. I believe we ought to say, "Lord, do it again." Glory to God. And I believe He will. Glory to God. When we desire the presence of God, glory to God. Hear me tonight, church, in the book of Psalms, glory to God. I'm getting ahead of myself. Glory to God. Job longed for the presence of God. Can I tell you, this same yearning for God should characterize all believers. All of us should desire the presence of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 63 and 1, reading out of the New International Version, it says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Do we really hunger for God tonight? Do we really cry out to him? Glory to God. You hear me tonight, church? As water is essential to this natural man, the Spirit of God, the presence of God is essential to the spiritual man. We need a drink from the fountain that's flowing down from the portals of glory. Hallelujah to God. We need to lift our cups and pray, "Lord, fill it up again." Oh, hallelujah. Till it's flowing on me and it rolls over to my neighbor and everybody is feasting on the goodness of God. We're drinking out of that living fountain. The presence of God. How we need to hunger for God's presence. Can I tell you tonight, glory to God, I took an allergy pill. I debated on drinking water or catching dripping, so I took this pill. My brother, bless his heart, one time says, "You got to use your handkerchief and remember when you want to wipe your mouth, which side you use for the other." Glory to God. Where were we? True believers tonight, church, will hunger and thirst for God. We will hunger for his grace, for his blessings. We will hunger for his supernatural activity in our lives. Can I tell you, everywhere that Jesus, when he worked miracles, would it not be great if once again we would get so in love with God till he would come down in our services and he would heal the sick? He would straighten things out for you in your life. Can I tell you that I serve a miracle working God? He's the same God tonight as he was when he walked the shores of Galilee and the blinded eyes were open, the deaf ears could hear. Glory to God, the lame could walk, the dead were raised. Can I tell you, I'm serving the same God. This is the 21st century and many things have changed, but my God has not changed. You and I have grown older, beloved. I can't run and jump like I could when I was a teenager, but can I tell you tonight that my God has not grown old? Glory to God. He's not an old person that he cannot reach down and help you. Glory to God. Sometimes I tell my son, it's a hard pill to swallow. I can't do physical work like I used to, but I'm serving a God who has been from time eternity's past, beloved. He has not lost any power. He's not, beloved, in a position that he cannot reach down to us. When you and I hunger for God, God's going to show up and God's going to work great miracles for us. Glory to God. Can I tell you, when we hunger for God, we may come to church tired. We may come to church hurting. You may come to church discouraged. You may come to church oppressed. You may come to church in all kind of ways. Can I tell you, if the presence of God don't show up, you're going to go home the same way. But can I tell you, when the Lord shows up, you don't have to go home like you came in. Glory to God. You can leave those doors going home a different person. Glory to God. The burdens can roll away. That thing that's bothering you can be removed. The body can be made well. Glory to God. God can give you peace over your children. Whatever is touching your life tonight, when the Spirit of God shows up and we hunger for God, you can go home different That's my desire. Glory to God. I remember the days when I have been to church and the Spirit of the Lord was so real and I was so turned on. And beloved, from a boy, my family always eat at the church. But I have been so caught up in the Spirit of the Lord. I wasn't hungry. I was still feeling God. I'm still walking around shouting and praising Him. Glory to God. Can I tell you, I want to do it again. I want to see God manifest Himself to us in a marvelous way till we really hunger for God. Every true believer will truly hunger for the presence of God. Can I tell you tonight, church? When we stop thirsting for God, we are going to die spiritually. Think about it. Glory to God. My heart aches as a minister when I look around in a church this nice and see all these empty pews. Glory to God. We say that we love the Lord, but do we really thirst and hunger for Him? Jesus said, when you come together in my name, I'm going to be there. When I was a boy, we ran up between, I'd say, 120 to 140 people in that little country church. Wasn't a big, nice church like this. You had to get there early to get a front seat. And I picked on people who I used to pastor, and I said, here in this church, if you get a back seat, you better get here early. When I was a boy, you had to get the church early. So this is how I feel tonight, church. When we don't come to church just because we don't want to come to church, we're not really thirsting for God, are we? I know sometimes people are sick, people get hindered, but when people Sunday night, Wednesday night just decide they don't want to come to church, and I'm thinking, what's better than feeling Jesus? He's better than a T-bone steak. Think about it. Glory to God. And I don't really care that much for steak. I'd rather have pork chop. Glory to God. But there's nothing out there, beloved, that is as great as the presence of God. So when we begin to cease the thirst for God, we're going to die spiritually. And I believe tonight that this is the problem with a lot of people spiritually. They go through a form, but they've lost their shout. They've lost their joy. I don't ever want to lose my joy. I don't ever want to lose my shout. I don't ever want to come to church and not feel the Lord. Can I tell you, not meaning to meddle, but here is the difference in our church today than our churches when we talk about how the people shouted. Can I tell you that them old saints of God spent a lot of time in prayer outside of the church. They sought the Lord before church. So when you came to church, beloved, you didn't have to, you know, remember those old pumps you used to have to prime? You don't have to prime folk when they're already in tune with God. They can walk right through the door already feeling Him. This is what I desire. Glory to God. I'm almost finished with page one. Glory to God. Since we realize that when we stop thirsting for God, we're going to die spiritually, then you and I must not allow anything to diminish our intense desire for the things of God. We need to be aware of worries of this life, things that will diminish our intense desire for the things of God. We need to be aware of the pursuit of earthly things. Can I tell you, there's nothing wrong with things. In fact, I heard a preacher say, if you've been in church for a long time, and you've been a faithful tither, you ought to have accumulated something. So I don't want you to think that I'm preaching against things. Beloved, it is when things occupy your time and you don't have time for God. And you desire your things more than you desire the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. We need to be aware of pleasures of life that choke our hunger and thirst for God. Can I tell you, we're living in a pleasure-seeking hour. People get more excited, and I believe everybody needs a break. I'm not preaching against vacations, but if we were as excited about church as we are about pleasures, we'd walk through the door shouting, wouldn't we? We'd come in this place rejoicing. We need to be careful. I used to tell my children when they was little, they'd ask me all kind of questions about the Bible. And I would tell them, glory to God, if you live for God, the Bible tells us that in His presence there's joy forevermore. At His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You want pleasure? Live for God. Everything in this life is temporal. Think about it. We get excited of a few days of vacation. Can I tell you what? Those few days fly by and it's right back to work. But if you live for God and you're hungry for God, one day we're going to go where we can have pleasure that will never come to an end. Think about it. There'll be no more to having to go back and punch a clock again. Can I tell you, I'd rather be an old-time Christian tonight than anything I know. And I hunger for the Spirit of God. I hunger that the church would get aflame for God. Hallelujah to God. When the church gets on fire for God, we'll see the church growing. I believe that even in this time, can I tell you, it's so easy to hear the voice of Satan when he says, well, it's supposed to be this way. Can I tell you, beloved, things may get worse, but the church can keep going. The church don't have to say, well, it's going to get bad. Glory to God. What the church ought to be doing is saying, it's getting bad out there, but it's getting better in here. Because God showed up every service. We're seeing souls saved. We're seeing people touched by God's Spirit. We're seeing miracles taking place. My heart goes out for the younger generation. Glory to God. I grew up in a church, glory to God, with all ages. Grandmas, mothers and dads, and a bunch of wee kids. Them old folks, when I was little, them old farmers all believed in having a house full of kids. So you fill the church with people. We need to be aware, beloved, of losing our desire to see God's face. And I'm going to have to speed up here. Those who profess to know God need to examine themselves by asking themselves the following question. Do I really possess a strong desire for God and His presence in my life? Do you really desire God? Do you really desire His presence? Or do I go through life largely consumed with secular pursuits and worldly entertainment? Think about it. Thus, the natural things mean more to you than God. While prayer, reading the Bible, and a deep hunger and thirst for God and His righteousness have little place or vitality in my life. Do you really hunger for God? I ask you, think about it. Do we really hunger for God? Does our Bible collect dust while we indulge in Hollywood? Glory to God, or do we find ourselves in the closet praying to God and seeking Him? We need a hunger, church, and I know this isn't a shouting message, but I believe it's a message every church in America needs to hear. We need a hunger for God. We need a revival for hunger for the presence of God. I want you to come expecting Think about it. My mother said years ago when they used to have a revival, not three nights, beloved, they'd have a revival and they'd go night after night after night. My mother said I wouldn't have missed a night for nothing because she said, I just don't know what God's going to do tonight. People came with an expectancy. Too many come today hoping it'll be an hour short service and I can get back out there to do my thing. We need to come expecting God to do some great things. I ask you, wouldn't it be great once again to see the altars with people weeping their way into glory, hallelujah, being sorry that they've sinned against God, and seeing people healed and great things taking place, and you coming in tired and hurting and going home feeling not like you're 75, but like you're 25. Oh, hallelujah! Wouldn't that be great? Glory to God. Think about it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'd rather feel God's presence than anything in the world. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy like Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I feel, I don't know how to insert this, I feel like them old time preachers preach so hard, but their greatest desire was to keep you in tune with God. Glory to God. The Bible tells us, and by my watch, I have 5 minutes left. Glory to God. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Glory to God. Those who follow Christ are urged to seek above all else God's kingdom. Let God's kingdom come down. Let the power of God come down, that people can be saved and sanctified and baptized in the Holy Spirit, that people that are sick can be healed, that the demonic spirits will have to go away from our church. Glory to God. The verb seek implies being continually absorbed in a search for something or making a strenuous, diligent effort to obtain something. We're talking about seeking God. We need to make that a priority in our lives. And whatever it takes, we need to seek God. We need to be like the lady who said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. She sought God. Can I tell you, under the old law, with the condition she was in, she could have been stoned for touching Jesus. Think about it. That old law was hard. I'm glad we're under grace and not under the law. But because of the compassion of Jesus, when she touched him, she was made whole. Can I tell you, if you come to church hungering for God, you come to church desiring that his presence will be manifested, he'll touch you. He'll bless you. Glory to God. And I believe Wednesday night we need a spiritual lift. Think about it. When Monday and Tuesday, and sometimes on my job, I have more than one Monday. Glory to God. So I'm glad we have Wednesday night service so we can get picked up. And trying to a close, church, I hope that you haven't missed what I've tried to share with you. As I've stated, I laid a foundation. There's so much more that I don't have time to get into. But in the midst of Job's suffering, you think about it. Sometimes we think we're suffering. And sometimes we feel like we're the only one. But can you imagine Job? I cannot fully comprehend what poor Job went through. Think about it. He didn't have no Tylenol. He couldn't run to the emergency room and get a shot. There was nothing to ease his pain. Then he's got three men that's supposed to be his friends, and all they're doing is belittling him and putting him down and telling him, surely you sinned. You've done something wrong, Job. And his wife is saying, why don't you curse God and die? And he's so miserable, only a dog could come and lick his sores. But beloved, hear me that in the midst of all of this suffering, Job knew that the only thing that could satisfy him was the presence of God. Hear me tonight. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But there's nothing that can satisfy you like Jesus. There's nothing that can bring satisfaction to you like Jesus. Glory to God. You can go to every doctor in town. You can take every pill he prescribes. You can hear all kinds of advice from people. Glory to God. But there's nothing that will ever satisfy you like Jesus. No matter what you're going through. Can I tell you, he's your answer. Jesus is your answer. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you know him? Aren't you glad? I'm glad I know him. And I know him in the free pardon of sin. I can sing that old song, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Glory to God. I once was on a road to destruction, but tonight I'm on a road to glory. And can I tell you, in all the things that has touched my life, all the things I've encountered, I have learned when I got away and got in the presence of God, those things that seemed like such a giant wasn't a giant to me anymore. Those things that seemed so impossible, that was going to drag me down, glory to God. When I got in the presence of God, he just takes care of it, glory to God. Will you not believe, agree with me, church? We need a hunger. We need a hunger in our hearts for the presence of God. And no matter what we're going through, he is the answer. Can I tell you, he's the answer for America tonight. Glory to God. I don't like to talk politics, and I'm not going to. You can have your own opinion about the leadership of this country. Can I tell you, the Bible says God puts up whom he will, and he takes down whom he will. If you want a marriage to get better, let the church catch a flame for God. Let the church fall in love with Jesus again. Let us come out of the world and be a separated people. Cease to enjoy the worldly pleasures and find our pleasure in the house of God with God's people. Can I tell you, those old folks, glory to God, they preached everything was a sin back then. So they couldn't go nowhere. So where did they get their pleasure? In church. And those old folks came singing and shouting. I used to go up to a church in Virginia several years ago. Those men went into a room and they turned out the lights and they had those little things that sparkle like stars. Can I tell you, they didn't whisper no prayer. Them folks prayed like our parents prayed. When that pastor hit that light switch, everybody prayed. And my terminology, because I'm a country boy, I said they was praying like calling hogs. Glory to God. And can I tell you, that we walked into that sanctuary and that sister started that piano, from then until the end of that service, you could feel the presence of God. He's real tonight, church. Glory to God. Would you not love to see our church full of people hungering for God? We could turn Thomasville upside down if we got a hunger for God. Because we would lose sight of things that's taking our minds off of God. And we would get these little phrases, it'll never happen, glory to God, out of our vocabulary. We need to never think it'll never happen, because the Bible says all things are possible to him that believes. God's a miracle working God. Glory to God. If I had 2 hours, I might could finish this, because it's about an 8 or 10 certain page sermon, and I used only 2. Glory to God. Take the thought home with you. We need to spend time in the presence of God. Glory to God. And I'm not posing TV, and you're not supposed to talk about things in the 21st century. But can I tell you, beloved, I think not necessarily TV today, a lot of things takes up our time. My mother never wanted a TV. We didn't have a TV till I was about 12 or 13. And my grandmother gave my brother a TV. Glory to God. A little black and white TV every night. We kids was watching that little black and white TV every night at a certain time. No matter where you were watching on TV, my mother says, all right, kids, it's time to turn that thing off. Think about it. I'm a kid. I don't know who killed who, because mama says, you got to turn it off. My mother drilled to us what was most important. And can I tell you, my mother would say, if you get mad, I'm going to make you read a chapter out of the Bible yourself. So you had to sit there mad with mama, not let mama know. I wanted to see what was going on. But my mother instilled within me when I was little what is important. And my mother taught me to pray. She said when I was little, before I can remember, I was afraid to go to bed until after I said my prayers. Thank God for Holy Ghost-filled mama. Glory to God. What's important tonight, church? Jesus. Glory to God. Do you love him tonight? Aren't you glad you came into his house? Glory to God, you came through the rain. It was raining so hard. At one spot coming, I could barely see. Glory to God. But I'm glad I came. And I hope I've shared something tonight that will touch you, church, that you can take home with you and meditate on it. We need a hunger. We need to thirst for God. God's desire is to bless his children. God wants to bless us. It's sort of like when I first started out trying to get a loan from the bank. A man told me, well, the bank wants to loan you the money more than you want to borrow. And I thought, when I started, I didn't have no credit, have nothing. I thought, if they wanted to loan it to me, why can't I get it? But God wants to bless you, church. All we got to do is present the vessel, a hunger. Glory to God. I'm going to share this and then I'm going to close. They used to sing a song, Fill My Cup, Lord. Remember that old song? When my niece was about 4 or 5 years old, she went to church with my mother. And they sang that song. And my mother said she got to missing her. And when she saw her, she had got her a cup, was standing on the back porch saying, here's my cup, Lord, fill it up. Glory to God. God don't want to fill that kind of cup, but he will. He'll feed you, clothe you, and take care of you if you'll serve him. Glory to God. Seeking God. More than anything, we need to seek him. Glory to God. Seek him. Our children, as I said, my oldest son, bless his heart, is turned my living room upside down. We have a house with 3 bedrooms, but one of those bedrooms I turned into a study. One bedroom has a teenager in it, and it's like a tornado goes through it all the time. So he has made my living room like a tornado goes through it all the time. Glory to God. You pray for us as we endure his little season with us. Glory to God. God bless you tonight. Thank you, Brother Green, for letting me share my heart with you tonight. I know it wasn't shouting, but sometimes we need to listen, then contemplate and think on these things. What we need at the Thomasville Church of God is a hunger for the presence of God. God bless you.
Amen. Let's let Brother West know you appreciated the word. The encouraging word. Amen. Well, all of us have a background, and all of us have a origin, and all of us have a beginning. And everything he was preaching on tonight was instilled within me also, Brother West, as a young Christian. If I can just seek the Lord and get in his presence, everything else will work itself out. Designate time, set apart time just to get everything else out of your heart, everything else out of your mind, except getting a hold of God. I could talk about a lot of different things that I've done through life as far as that particular thing, but I've mentioned this many times here. Some of my most favorite times was in the woods. You say, in the woods, what was you doing, hunting? Yeah, I was hunting God. And I'd go way back on the mountain above my house in Clyde. On Sunday afternoons, Sherry would eat lunch, and she'd get the kids laid down. And then I'd get on my four-wheeler or my truck, whichever, and I'd go way back in the mountain, way back at the top of the mountain, right where the creek run down the center of the mountain. And I built a rock altar there. I could take you to this day and show you that place. It was there that I died over and over and over and over and over to myself and to my flesh and to my desires. And my desires soon become his desires. And all throughout, this was over 20 years ago when that was happening, when I still lived in Waynesville, pastored in Waynesville. And that was 20 years ago, almost. But you know what? The things I did then is the things that still help me even today when I experience his presence. You can't tell nobody about it. They have to experience it for themselves. You can tell them, but you can't give it to them. You have to experience it for yourself. But I tell you what, my friend, it'll change your life forever. Now, in defense of the preacher tonight, not that preacher, but this preacher, I don't put him on the time limit. I don't even put myself on the time limit. Hey, if you need to go, you go. I came to a conclusion a long time ago with people. I said, hey, let's come to agreement, okay? Let's agree on something. Here's the agreement. If you got somewhere you need to go, I don't talk about you for leaving, and you don't talk about me for staying. So that's my agreement for over 20-some years pastoring. So anytime you need to go, if things are happening, just let it happen and go your way. Amen. Let's stand, if you will. Thank you, Brother West. My heart yearns for what you're talking about tonight again. A fresh touch of his presence. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. David said, where can I go without your presence? So, Father, I thank you, God. I thank you for the power and the anointing of your presence. Oh, God. Father, I pray for your presence. I pray, God, for your spirit, God, to move among us as your people tonight, Father. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Breathe upon us, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for the word of God. And Father, just like Job in the scripture, where would we be if not for your presence? Father, be with us as we go our ways this week, and bring us, oh God, again tonight, back again Sunday morning, and Father, back to this place again. Father, we thank you and we honor you. We honor your word. We honor your spirit. We honor your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Be careful out there. I don't know what the weather's doing. Just be safe this week. And we love you.